I really appreciate the songs that Deanna picked this morning. In your presence, O God, no higher calling, hear my prayer. They're among my favorites, as well as communion song. And they fit well with what I want to share with you today, because it has to do with relationship, and especially a family type relationship. And God wants that for us, a close relationship with Him. And we are strongest when we're in His presence. We sometimes forget, though, that we're in His presence all the time. There's nowhere we can go where God is not. We can go to the depths of the sea or the farthest reaches of space, and God is there. But He wants and desires a close relationship with us. He wants our attention. He wants our appreciation and our service. But there's special times, though, because we live in this world and we're busy. Other things to do to keep our attention focused in other areas. So God's not saying, I want you to be mindful constantly of me, but just be aware that I'm with you and you're my servants. And when we're especially in His presence, where we are focused on Him, that's when we find the greatest strength, isn't it? When we gather for worship, we find strength here because we're not in the workplace. You know, we're not home alone. We're with other Christians and we're focusing upon God, and we find renewed strength. When we study God's Word, whether in a group or on our own, it's our time just to focus upon what God has to say. And we find strength there. When we pray, and the song, Hear My Prayer, always means a lot to me. It's that time that we're really talking to God. And sometimes it may feel like you're just talking to yourself. But when you address God, He's right here. His Spirit is within us. So He's not way out in space, you know, where we have to shout or hope that He hears us. He's right here with us. And He hears and He understands and even knows what we want to say, what's on our heart, before we even verbalize it. But He wants us to verbalize it, to talk to Him, communicate with Him. It's about relationship. And so in His presence, we are privileged to approach Him. As no higher calling says, at His feet, when we come before Him, at His throne, and talk to Him, we come as welcome people, as welcome children. We are His children, and He is our Father. So, and communion song always means a lot. I like a lot of our communion songs because they do focus upon what Christ has done for us and our relationship with Him. Without His sacrifice, we would not have the direct access that we have to our Heavenly Father and that special relationship. And it's that relationship that I think Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount is addressing in verses, or chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. He starts out by saying, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For whoever asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. It's always amazing to me how many times Jesus rephrases the two greatest commandments, but that's what He's just done here. Yeah. He uses the illustration in verses 9 through 11 about the parent-child relationship. And granted, not every family, you know, not every family is a good family. But for the most part, I think we can all relate. As a child, we grow up, and we trust our parents. And because we trust them, we're close with them, they are our closest connection as far as human beings go. And so what do? When we want something, we ask, don't we? You know, if mom just made some fresh baked cookies, what do? We ask, can I have a cookie? Yes. Can we have a good meal today without spinach? Well, maybe not. It all depends on what's best as far as the parent views. Of course, why anybody would think spinach is a good idea, that's beyond me. But seek and you will find. You know, as we grow, we start to look beyond us, don't we? We want to know more. We want to understand. We want to know where our place is in life. And so we begin to seek for answers. And most of our answers do come from our parents. When they sit down with us and talk with us, hopefully they talk a little bit about, you know, the birds and the bees, but other things, you know, finances and career goals and a whole bunch of things about life, hopefully we learn initially from our parents. Of course, we learn a lot more beyond that. But what we learn from our parents should be a base for what we add everything else onto. And as we get older, then we start to think about career and about love. And we start to look for opportunities. Opportunities to meet the right person, the opportunities for work or career. And oftentimes our parents give us guidance for that and make it possible. Because most parents end up helping pay for college, don't we? It used to be, now I put myself through college. I could work in the summer in factories and I could do part-time jobs through the school year. And it was always enough to pay the school bill, you know, for everything for the school bill. That's back, I'm talking early 70s here, you know. And enough for the all-important dates. Can't do that now. Everything's too expensive. But still, parents save for college for their children, pay for a lot of it, go in debt. The kids go in debt. But it's opening those opportunities for our kids. And Jesus says here that we, even though we are evil, we know how to give good gifts, don't we? We know how to bless our children. And yes, think about it. Compared to God, we are evil. You know, we like to think good of ourselves, and we should. But at the same time, we need to recognize that within us, we are not perfect. And no matter how hard we might try, we are not going to be perfect parents. Our children will not be perfect parents, even though as children, they're going to start thinking that they will be. But they will find that they are not perfect because their children will tell them they're not perfect, right? And yet overall, we're relatively good. And we do good for our children. And our children will do good for their children, even though we are imperfect. And so you take imperfect people and we know how to give good things to our children. And so Jesus says, how much more? How much more will our perfect Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? God is able to give far and above the best we can do. God can provide for us whatever we need, and He can do it easily because He is God. But notice what's required. Relationship. And he says it plainly here, you know, ask, just ask. He'll give it to whoever asks. But you know what? Why would strangers ask God for anything except in a moment of desperation? People who don't know God aren't going to be busy asking God for anything unless there's some emergency or some real issue that they're struggling with. But God here is talking, when He says ask, He's talking about the family relationship. Have this relationship with Me. Love Me. Love Me. And ask anything. And I will provide it for you. Now, as I've said many times, I'm still waiting for my Ferrari. But the reason God hasn't given it to me, I'm convinced, is I can't afford the insurance. As silly as that is, point being, sometimes we ask for things and we think, you know, this would really benefit. This would benefit me or benefit someone else. And God's saying, now, I know you don't understand, but you know, there are so many other issues tied to this that it would make either your life or someone else's life far more complicated. And so I can't give you exactly what you want, but I'm going to give you the essence of what you want. And isn't that what we do when we're raising our own children? We don't give them everything they ask every time they ask, but we always endeavor to give them the best so that they're happy and they grow and they learn and they become responsible adults. And that's the way God treats us. But He doesn't just do it all. I mean, He blesses us whether we ask or not. But there's so many blessings He has for us if only we ask. And as we're going through life and we're kind of wondering what's what and we can't figure this crazy life out and we're not even sure about our own life, we need to seek answers. And God says, you seek that and I will show you. But you have to seek from Him. And when we're looking for opportunity, Lord, what do you want me to do next? Well, we need to be looking for God to open doors. When we're looking for opportunity, when we're sharing with young people and they're not sure what they want to do, don't just look at the world by itself, but how does God want to use you? How can you benefit God's kingdom? Lord, show me the way. Open the door. And you know what? God will open the door. That's what He promises. If we have that relationship with Him, we turn to Him and seek our answers and our guidance and our needs from Him, He promises to provide. Again, not always as we see it, because just like little kids, we don't always see the full picture, and sometimes we're asking selfishly, and sometimes those things can hurt us. But God, because He loves us, always gives that which is good. And so when we ask of Him and seek from Him and knock on His door, He's there to give nothing but that which is good. Because He loves us so much. And it's interesting, isn't it, that He goes on in verse 12 and says, so, or in other words, therefore, in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. We think of that as, you know, the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But what He's talking about is love your neighbor as yourself. We've got the two greatest commandments here in this passage. Love God, ask, have that relationship, and then because of that, treat other people as your family too. Treat people well. Treat them as you want them to treat you. Because it is about caring for one another. And as we care for others, you know, we want to treat people kindly. Because we want people to treat us kindly. When people are in need and we want to help, okay, well, we hope that when we're in need, people will help us. Now, everybody, every human being in this world is in the same boat. It's called Earth. And it's life. And we're here. And we're here to seek God and for God to seek us. And many people grow up never connecting with God. They live their lives and they die. And they die without God. But God is still seeking and He's still searching and He's reaching out. And when others are down and they're searching for God, God's there. But so is Satan, with false ideas and false paths for people to follow because they sound maybe more interesting or easier or who knows what, or whoever talks them into whatever they do. But God is always calling out. And when He calls people and they listen and they come to Him, He's saying, now, I want you to treat others as I'm treating you. Be kind to others as I'm kind to you. Be forgiving of others as I forgive you. Be generous with others as I'm generous with you. Love others as I love you. Because it's all about God loving His creation and Him wanting so badly for His creation to love itself, to love one another. Scripture tells us God is love. That is His overall nature. But what works against that love is the sin and the cruelty and the hatred and the selfishness of people. And you know, hate is part of love. Because when you love someone so much, when you see them turn to evil, you're going to hate the evil, right? When something bad happens to someone you love, don't you hate that? Because you love them so much. And so with God, in Scripture, there's a lot of references to the things and the people that God hates. And it's because they're working against Him, not only working against Him, but working against His people. The people He created in His image, pulling people away from Him. It's no mistake that Jesus earlier had said, or maybe it was a little later than the Sermon on the Mount, about if anyone leads a child astray, they should have a millstone hung around their neck and thrown into the depths of the sea. Why? Because leading people away from Jesus, even children, in essence, is spiritual murder and worthy of death. Because God is the only source of life. The only source of life. And all He's telling to human beings is, I love you. Love me back and I will bless you immeasurably. That's the whole point of our relationship. And then in turn, I want you to love one another. To treat each other well. Because you're all my children. Now, there are those who have wandered away or don't know Him and they live as strangers, even as enemies of God. He's trying to save as many as possible. But as long as they don't want relationship with God, they will always be on the outside, separate from God. So when we think about these two greatest commandments, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, that is really the summation of the law. Because that's what he says in verse 12. He says, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now keep in mind, when you're reading Scripture and you see in the New Testament where it refers to the Old Testament as the law and the prophets, that's their phrase, their catchphrase for the Old Testament. Because if you could go back in time, in a time machine, and go back to the time that Jesus walked the earth, and you mentioned to people, hey, you know, Jesus is the Messiah, he's foretold in the Old Testament, they'd look at you like, what? What's the Old Testament? Because to them it was still the present testament. The New Testament didn't begin until Jesus rose from the grave. The Gospels and the life of Jesus all took place under the Mosaic Law, the Law and the Prophets. So that just refers to what you and I today call the Old Testament. The fulfillment of every command is found in these two. And you know what? Even in the New Testament, the desire of God is still the same. It is not changed. Let us love Him and walk in relationship with Him and ask everything of Him as we go through life. And He will bless us with so much good. That doesn't mean we're not going to have struggles. We're not going to have sorrows. We live in a sin-filled, cursed world. We're all going to die. We're going to have loved ones die. That's a fact of life because of sin. But God has promised us as we endure and we hold on to Him, eternal life is ours with Him in the new earth, in the new heavens, where all will be perfect and amazing to me, even us. Now, Ed mentioned in his communion meditation about, you know, sinful self and, you know, and trusting the blood of Christ. But we still know we're imperfect. But because of the blood of Christ, we will be perfect. God's love for you and I is so strong and so committed that that's what He's working on in your life and mine, in the lives of others. It's a marvelous family relationship we have with the great God Almighty and with each other. But that relationship starts when we come to the cross. We're going to sing in a moment here, "I Come to the Cross," another marvelous chorus. But people cannot understand the seriousness of their own sin before God. And they cannot understand the price paid for them, that someone paid for their sin, until they do come and recognize the cross. When they look and see what Jesus did, and to a lost world, Easter's coming up, and the lost world looks, oh, it's Easter. For many people, it's nothing. For many other people, it's just a time for family to get together to eat. For many, it's just time for the Easter bunny and candy. I like the candy, not so much the Easter bunny. But for many, they do not understand about Jesus going to a cross, and they find that hard to believe. How could that be? And to rise again on the third day. How could that be? And it just sounds silly, just like the Easter bunny. But you know what? Until a person comes to the point where they realize, I'm guilty before God. I'm an enemy of God because I've walked away from Him and have ignored Him. Or I've just been seeking the wrong direction. And I realize He paid for that sin. He died on that cross paying for my sin. And because He paid, I need to claim that paid. I need to have that stamp on my hand, on my head. I need to have that I now belong to Him. I need to surrender to the cross, to the one who paid for my sin. Because until I accept that, until I commit my life to that, my sin remains unpaid. He paid it, but I have not claimed it. I need to claim it. And the way to claim it is to repent of one's sins. And that means to turn right around. I'm not going to go that direction anymore. I'm going to follow Jesus. To confess your faith in Him, to be immersed in Him, that's where we are united with Him. In the book, at end of Matthew, the Great Commission is called, Jesus said to make disciples. And how? It starts when we are immersed into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we begin to learn, you know, teach them to obey all I've commanded you. And God is with us every step of the way to the end of the age. That's where we start. And we go until the Lord calls us home. And when He calls us home, oh my goodness, all the good things that we ask for in this life, there everything's going to be perfect things. How awesome that's going to be. If anyone here hasn't given their life to Christ, haven't claimed the price paid for you, if you're now ready to follow Christ and to look forward to eternity and to walk in relationship with Him, the baptistry is always ready. You know, come forward, we can take your confession, and we can baptize you right here, right now. If you've got questions, let's get together and talk about it. Because it's not my word you need to take, it's God's word. And it's important to look at what God says in His word so that you're convinced that this is what God is telling you. For the rest of us, you know, it's easy to be a Christian and get comfortable being a Christian. You know, I find that. I imagine you do too. But it's times like sermons like this that it's good to be reminded just how special our relationship is with God, and that we should not take it for granted, but rather live it for all it's worth, because it's worth everything. Let's stand together, shall we, and sing, "I Come to the Cross."